I don't usually care for people tampering with old songs. I think they were written the way they were meant to be written, and I like that. But the version we just sang of Amazing Grace is an exception for me, because I love that chorus that was added. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. There's an importance to that line. That He has ransomed me. He has paid the price so that I may be free. I can't become free any other way. The price of sin is nothing that I can pay for. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And those words written recently remind me of an old hymn that Charles Wesley wrote. He included a verse, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And I just love the imagery of that. Someone in prison so long that they become accustomed to being there. The light might even hurt their eyes at first, but it is compelling. But there's also a great piece of theology in that hymn, that the freedom was offered and he rose and followed. The choice was also made. We're going to talk a little bit about freedom today. And that how God brings things together. That both what we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the song we were just singing, and then to tie that off, has anyone ever seen the little devotional called "Jesus Calling" by Sarah Young? I see a few hands up there. It's a beautiful, beautiful little daily devotional, and it's written as if God is speaking to us on this, each of the little daily readings, and then each come with some scriptures. But today's, I thought, was wonderful considering the topic of today's message. Today says, "Walk with me in the freedom of forgiveness. The path we follow together is sometimes steep and slippery. If you carry a burden of guilt on your back, you are more likely to stumble and fall. At your request, I will remove the heavy load from you and bury it at the foot of the cross. When I unburden you, you are undeniably free. Stand up straight and tall in my presence so that no one can place more burdens on your back. Look into my face and feel the warmth of my love shining upon you. It is this unconditional love that frees you from both fear and sins. Spend time basking in the light of my presence. As you come to know me more and more intimately, you grow increasingly free." It's a good word. I'm going to be reading this morning from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Talking about freedom. In this season in America, where we celebrate freedom, where we cherish our freedom, where we hear candidates talking about freedoms and different ways of protecting freedom. I thought briefly about throwing my hat into the ring this season. I was going to have a single plank platform that will not call your house during supper time. It's a landslide. But there is the freedom that we enjoy here, but what we're going to talk about this morning is a different type of freedom. John 8, starting with verse 31. "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, there's a couple of points out of this passage I want that I'd like to point out that I find very interesting. The first is the answer that Jesus got back from those who were around him. He says that they can be set free, and they say, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." I find this an interesting argument by the Jewish people who were currently being occupied, or their homeland was occupied at this time by the Romans. Just curious if they'd ever read the scriptures that were available to them. If you look at a timeline of Jewish history, it is they come out of slavery, they're disobedient, they go into exile and into slavery. They go home. They become disobedient. They go into exile, into slavery. Repeatedly. How they could tell someone who was obviously a teacher, "We are Abraham's children, we have never been in slavery," is beyond me. I'm sure it's beyond Jesus, but he doesn't even bother addressing that. He knows. He knows that they are missing the point when they're thinking. First of all, they're missing the point historically, that they definitely have been in sin in the flesh or in slavery in the flesh. But he's talking about a state of the spirit. And when we think about freedom in Christ, what is it that we are thinking about? Or can we get our mind straight differently than the people that Jesus was talking to then? Can we grasp what it means when Jesus says you can be free? I think kind of the immediate response, the knee-jerk response, is that Jesus is talking about being saved, but he's not talking about being saved. You see, it's another step. Living the Christian life starts with salvation, which is step one into a process of discipleship, of becoming and being a disciple, and continuing to be a disciple, and continuing to disciple others. Notice that it starts off by Jesus talking to those who believed him. He was talking to those who already believed in who he was, and says that they are not free. He says, "If you hold on to my teachings, then you will be my disciple. Then you will be set free. Then you will be set free. Then you can have those chains pulled off of you and you can stand up and walk out and follow me." Now what are the chains? What are the things that enslave us now? As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that those who aren't yet believers are enslaved by sin and need Jesus in order to come out of that life. But for today, let's talk about those of us who are believers and who don't have that peace, that sense of freedom, that reality of freedom that comes with being a follower of Christ. We should. If we've accepted Jesus, we should be living at peace in our lives. Attacked constantly, you know, bad things happening, yes. But in the midst of those, peaceful and free in the reality that we are with our Savior, who walks with us and never leaves us, who lifts the burdens up off of us. So what are these things that drag us down? Well, a lot of it's our past. It's the things that we've done in our past that we can't shake off. You see, sin holds on to us. Jesus has paid the payment for our sin. But we have to let it go. We have to be willing to shake it off, to repent, to move it out of our minds, and to move forward. It's a choice that we have to make. Or we're kept down in the mire, down in the muck, down in the cesspool that this world really is. without Jesus. You see, some people thrive in that. Some people want to escape it and don't know how. Some are given the key out, but stay where they are. You know, you hear these stories all the time. All the time. It happens frequently where some guy has spent a significant amount of time in prison and he's released. And very quickly he's back in because of the comfort. It's what he has come to know. He can't handle the freedom. I was down at the Stevenson Detention Center a few weeks ago, and they've told me more than once that a young man has come back banging on the door saying, "Can I come back in?" We can be comfortable sometimes in our confinement, but Jesus offers something much, much better. He offers us a way to take off those chains of guilt, those chains of shame, those chains of addiction, those chains of anger, and to set us free. Do you feel free in Christ? Jesus said, "Hold on to my teachings, then you'll be my disciple. Then you'll be set free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." So the first step then is to hold on to the teachings of Jesus. And what are the things that Jesus taught? Love your neighbor as yourself. Repent. You must be born again. What are the things that Jesus taught us to do? Love your enemies. You must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. He has given us those things to hold on to. He has taught us. Go in to the Gospels and read what Jesus has taught us to do. Begin to live those out in your life. Then you will be a disciple. Then you will be set free. It pains me so to see believers in Jesus living lives of agony, living lives that are discouraged, living lives as if they don't know Jesus. Craig Rochelle wrote a great book a couple years ago called The Christian Atheist. It's about the person who believes in Jesus but lives as if Jesus has nothing to do with his life. I hope that you feel freedom in Christ. And again, this is not saying that life is going to be, everything's going to be roses. Right? This is not saying that everything is going to be perfect. It's not saying you're going to get rich. It's not saying any of that. It's saying in the midst of your circumstances, you are completely and utterly aware that you're never alone, that Jesus Christ is standing alongside you. And I say it often because I love the image when he says, "Take my yoke." Because he's the big, strong guy on the other half of that yoke. And that burden is light. You stand up next to Jesus, yoked with him, step by step with him when you're yoked with Jesus, walking alongside him, with him shouldering the great weight of the burdens. It doesn't take the burden away. It doesn't change the circumstance necessarily. But it changes the way you walk through it. There's no secret to a life of peace. There's no secret to a life of freedom. It's all written right here, and it's not in code. It's in the black and white letters written in Scripture. It's in some of the red letters, depending on your Bible, in Scripture. It's Jesus saying, "This is how you live your life. Follow me. Follow me." Sunday mornings from 10 to 11:30 or so, follow me. And Sunday afternoon, and Monday, and Tuesday. You can't be a disciple one day of the week. You can't be a disciple 2 hours out of the week. A disciple is a full-time job. But there's a great promise, and Jesus can't break a promise. There's the great promise that if you do those things, you will find extraordinary peace in your life like you've never known. There will be moments of anxiety. but you know how to push them back out. There will be moments of depression, but you know how to push them back out. You call on He that is within you, He that is dwelling within you. This morning, after the close of the service, we're going to have some folks gathered in the back room to pray with you. Might have some folks gathered up here to do the same thing. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never taken that first step into this life of peace and of freedom and of eternity, don't let this day go by. Don't let this day go by. There'll be someone here to help you take that step. But if you are a believer and you don't feel that peace in your life, come and let someone pray that peace for you. Sometimes we just need to say that out to someone. We just need to be able to speak it out and say, I'm hung up. I'm hung up. For anyone over 40, the record's skipping. It's stuck in the same spot. I'm on the right track, but I'm not going anywhere. Let us pray with you and help you get past that. Because there's no reason for us to live lives of discouragement. There's no reason for us to live lives without peace. It is so easy to get wrapped up in the junk that gets poured out every single day. And I know that what we're going through now in election time is a necessary thing, and I'm a very patriotic person, and I love my country, but I despise what takes place in the hearts and minds of believers, this time of year. We're drawn into this knot of anxiety that shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be there. Because if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Finances are a mess. The world's a mess. There's war everywhere. There's a lot of stuff to worry about. And we should concern ourselves with the things that we can actively do something to repair what is around us. And we should pray for our leadership. We should pray for God to act. We should pray for peace. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we should not get drawn back down into that mire of anxiety over any of it. Paul wrote and said that there's a peace beyond our understanding. See, a lot of times we'll look at the newspaper or watch TV and say, how can you not be nervous? How can you not be upset? How can you not be anxious? Well, from a worldly perspective, you have to be. But Paul wrote that if you rejoice in the Lord, if you turn everything over to Him, say, God, I give all this to you. I absolutely can't fix it. I turn it all over to you. Not just part, I turn everything to you. Then God will return upon you peace that passes understanding. Peace that transcends our logic. So stop trying to fight it by figuring it out. Just accept that which He has to give you. It's an incredible gift that God offers you. This peace in our hearts, this peace that's possible. Paul wrote about peace in all circumstances. Chained up in jail and being beaten on a regular basis, probably headed to an execution. What did he do? He praised God. He brought others to Christ. He baptized people. Bring it on. Bring it on. In the midst of his circumstances, he did what he could do. He turned to God. And many others were turned to God because of that. Church, we can make a difference in the world. You can make a difference in your world. You can make a difference in your school and in your workplace. by not buying in to the questionable statistics in the newspaper, not buying into the sound bites on television where one expert says A, the other expert says Z. Buy into this. Buy into this. It's a promise of peace beyond your ability to understand it. It's a promise of freedom now and on into eternity. Amen.